The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, drinking alcohol in the stands at football grounds could be reinstated in the UK as part of a review into football, what is being described as a fan-led review into football. Currently, booze is permitted in the concourses of the grounds, but not in the seats, meaning that fans can drink before the match and they can shotgun beers during halftime, but they can't bring them with them to their stands. So, what are the rules around drinking in the stands here at home? Do they vary from sport to sport? And are they in need of a change? To discuss this, I'm joined by Nathan Murphy from Off the Ball. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, Anton.
So tell us, what's the different codes for the different codes?
Yeah, so all of this is in the news because of what's happening in the UK at the moment, where ever since 1985, the height of hooliganism, a decision was made that you can't drink alcohol within the stadium while watching a match. So you can drink inside the concourse, which you would wonder what effect that has on hooliganism. So that means if you go to a Premier League match, and that's why I was confused as to why this was such a big story, as I've been covering games for the last 10 years. If you go into a stadium, there's bars there, you can go, you can buy yourself a drink. You just can't take that next step through the tunnel to where you can watch the match. To the extent that even if you're in a corporate box, you're not allowed to have a drink during a game unless they pull the curtains, which sort of takes away the entire point of going
the
to
prawn
the game.
Sandwich brigade have to remain entirely chaste during the match
while the 90 minutes of the match is happening. So right up to kickoff you can have a drink, half time you can have a drink, full time you can do what you want, but while the game is on you cannot have a drink inside the stadium.
Does that solve anything? Because the general response seems to be that everybody gets liquored up in advance, then drinks as much as is humanly possible during halftime, and then gets liquored up afterwards.
Well, you probably saw the response from the head of football policing in the UK, Mark Roberts, who brought it back to the Euro 2020 final and the scenes, the pretty despicable scenes we saw outside Wembley and inside Wembley. And he said it'd be irresponsible to fuel football's problem with disorder by overturning this. But the problem there wasn't the serving of alcohol inside the stadium. It was the policing around it that allowed thousands upon thousands of people to gather who didn't have tickets for the match to be able to drink freely on the streets from 10, 11 in the morning with the match not on until 8 o'clock. So are you going to go from being a very civilized human being to a hooligan in the space of 90 minutes for a couple of drinks, where you could drink for 5 hours outside the ground, you can drink inside the ground for 2-3 hours beforehand at halftime, you can scull 3 pints at halftime and go back to your seat?
But
there,
also,
there's no
there,
great sense
there is
around
evidence
it.
From around the world. Maybe the rules have changed, but my recollection of baseball games was that nobody has ever managed to get through one of those entirely sober, and it is terribly civilized. It is like a bar with entertainment.
Exactly. So it doesn't really stack up that for the 90 minutes of a soccer match, that is the only time you can't have alcohol, and by somehow withholding it from supporters, it's going to change the entire dynamic around fights after the game or anything like that. I actually think it's a good idea, though, because there's nothing more frustrating than being at a game and people around you wanting to get up to go to the toilet after having a few drinks, wanting to get up and get a pint, and then they've had one pint and they want to get another pint.
Or they spill it on you on the return journey.
They spill it on you, and for the 90 minutes or the 80 minutes or whatever it is, just sit and watch the actual game. If you want to drink at halftime, go get it, have it out in the concourse, come back and enjoy the game. But the main reason this is being looked at in the UK, and it's a number of things that are happening at the moment, you might have heard about safe standing and the potential return of that, is more for lower league clubs, that actually it's a massive source of revenue for clubs, is that if they're allowed to serve alcohol during the game, they'll make more money out of it. At the moment, it's only non-league teams are allowed to do it. So for teams in the second, third, fourth tier who are struggling for cash, that actually this is another way of enabling them to bring some in.
What about then the GAA and rugby?
Yeah, so currently in Ireland right now, as I discovered to my own cost at the All-Ireland final, things were going horribly wrong for Mayo and I wanted to drown my sorrows, there's no alcohol in any stadium in Ireland right now due to the COVID restrictions that are in place. So that we will expect will change over the coming weeks.
By the way, commiserations on that, I should have opened for
it's
that.
All right, you get used to it after a while, Anton. So there's quite a split in the major sports over here. So the GAA in normal times will allow you to buy a drink in the concourse or in the premium or corporate levels. But again, like the Premier League, you can't bring it to your seat. So you can buy a drink before the match, halftime, you just can't bring it into the stadium. And by all accounts, nobody seems to have any great issue with that. Everyone's happy to be able to sit, watch the match in a very friendly atmosphere. The FAI are governed by UEFA regulations about all their big games, and they don't allow the sale of alcohol inside stadiums except in the premium levels. Quite often you will see a Heineken 00, and as some people queue up for an hour, order their beer and realise it's maybe not the beer they initially wanted. So that's out of the FAI's hands. All those games are under UEFA regulations. Whereas rugby, if you do want to drink while you're watching the game, is the match to go to because you can buy alcohol and you can bring it to your seat. Plastic glasses, if you're going to watch one of the provinces or you're going to watch Ireland, you can go and you can buy a drink and you can bring it to your seat. And I know, again, there's split opinion on that. Some people enjoy it and it's part of the experience of going to the game. It's a Friday night, you can totally relax. For other people who actually want to sit and watch the game for the 80 minutes and the guy beside you,
we're back to up and down
times.
And spilling it on so you and all the rest.
Are you there for the event or are you there for the game?
Well, this raises a question that Frank Murray might be able to answer. Frank Murray is the former president of the Royal College of Physicians and chairman of the Alcohol Health Alliance in Ireland. Frank, is there an underlying issue with all of this that both on our side of the water and across the Irish Sea, there is an assumption that it's impossible to watch sport without alcohol?
Thanks, Anton. I think there are lots of assumptions around this, and I agree with a lot of what was just said by your previous speaker. I think the first thing I would say is in relation to sport, I think there shouldn't be a link between alcohol and sport. We've got a very close link between alcohol and sport in Ireland in terms of advertising of alcohol at sporting events and on TV. And if you look at many sporting occasions in Ireland, you know, the pitch is covered with advertising for alcohol companies. So that's the first issue I would say in relation to sport and alcohol. And the second point, and which was just made again by your previous speaker, was that, you know, the comments, I think, by the UK's police chief responsible for football policing, Mark Roberts, he said it would be irresponsible to fuel football's problems with disorder by allowing alcohol to be consumed in the stands. I think that's quite strong commentary by him in relation to soccer in the UK. Now, I think the problems we have here with violence in sport are much less than in the UK, where violence has been very closely connected with sport, particularly with alcohol. But Mark Roberts, interestingly, says they're having problems with sports, other sports now as well, related to alcohol and disorder. So, you know, there isn't a good argument, in my view, for having alcohol in the stands. And
well, is there one potential good argument, Frank, in that do you remember when the issues came up around licensing and everything else, there was this discussion about could we shift Ireland to a cafe culture where instead of saying I'm going to go into the pub and just drink, that alcohol could be normalised into a social activity that wasn't the sole focal point. Is there any argument for the same to say that, look, you could make this a much more restrained setting where people go and have one or two drinks while watching the match as opposed to drinking heavily before the match?
I think the whole idea of having alcohol as part of a cafe society and of normalising it is a very bad idea and has not been a success. The problem is, it's interesting as well. I mean, we are facing, on many times on your show, we've discussed the problems that that persist in Ireland relating to alcohol. The government target for 2020 was to reduce the per capita consumption to 9.1 litres of alcohol per person per year. And last year's figures were 10.8, despite the fall with the pandemic. So we're about almost 20% above the government's stated target of per capita consumption. So I don't think we should be doing anything that makes it easier to drink alcohol. We should be actually trying to discourage people consuming alcohol because of the negative effect it has on their health, because of the negative effect it has in terms of crime, which is what this debate is really about, and because of the negative effect it has on people's families and their loved ones, so on. I mean, the harm to others from alcohol. So, you know, I think we shouldn't be normalising it. We should be denormalising it. We should be saying alcohol is not something that we should be consuming on a regular basis. It should be something we do as a treat. And I think actually what's done in terms of keeping alcohol out of the stands at soccer in the UK is a good idea. And if you look at rugby matches, for instance, the Six Nations, and you look at some of the stadia, there are people, you know, with drinking all the time during the match. And I think it's a very bad example for children, as well as being harmful to themselves.
So you would go so far as to remove it from the codes wherein it is currently legal?
Yes, I would. I mean, if you look at the Six Nations matches in the UK. I think it's terrible to see people drunk and drinking in the stands. It's a terrible example to children. If you just go back and take this from a children's point of view, I mean, we've got a terrible problem with children drinking in Ireland, as you're probably aware. And children know more about alcohol brands than they do about other brands when they're growing up because of the exposure to alcohol marketing and drinking, indeed, on TV and other media. So I think there's a lot to be said for not having alcohol consumed in the stands at matches in general. And again, as your previous speaker has said, I mean, I think people should go to the match to enjoy the match rather than to get hammered.
Well, to go back to Nathan Murphy on that, the prospect, Nathan, of the GAA keeping up with the COVID ban and it never coming back, the IRFU removing booze from the stands?
No, I think the GAA will go back to where they were, where you can buy a drink in the concourse. You can't bring it into the stands. It's worth pointing out in the UK point of view, like, this relates to football fans can't be trusted, according to the UK government. It is only football. So at rugby, at cricket, any other sport, you can have a drink. But that has brought its own problems. Cricket, some would say, has always been a great sport to watch if you want to go and have a drink, because it goes on for 8 or 9 hours a day, 5 hours, 5 days a week. But they've come up with a new concept, the 100, which is evening entertainment. It's a shorter format. And they've had all sorts of issues this summer with it's become a destination for stag parties. It's become a destination for the type of people they don't want attending. And it was set up as a family entertainment business, but that hasn't happened because it's full of lads in their 20s and 30s going out on a Wednesday, Thursday night, drinking 20 pints, all sorts of scraps in the stands. So that is the other side of this.
Fights in
that
the stands sort of, at cricket?
Exactly.
To coin a phrase, that's not cricket. Texting, can you imagine standing on Hill 16 knowing the guy behind you has a pint of lager in his hand and the Dubs are going for goal? It's a fine point.
That is the other side of this, that I'm sure everybody who's been at a match where drink is served has got that little tipple of beer down the back of your neck and you're going, oh no, no.
Nathan, thank you so much. That is Nathan Murphy from Off the Ball, and before him was Frank Murray, who is former president of the College of Physicians and chairman of the Alcohol Health Alliance in Ireland.